All right, it is Sunday morning, and of course we have our contest going for dinner for two at Original Joe's. Just guess the score of today's game. You'll be in the pool. Raf picks the winners out at the end of August, two winners. And just tweet in your answer to @BaseballMarty, the score of today's game. We've got Webb and Martinez, the two pitchers. All right, Paul White joins us, national baseball writer. Paul, always a pleasure. How are you?
Doing great, Marty. How are you doing?
Well, we're doing fine, and look, you've spent many, many years in Washington, and I'm anxious to get your thought about the Soto trade and how it all went down and some of the players that the Nationals got back, this Robert Hassel and James Wood, the 6'7", big hitter, and Abrams. What did you think of the whole deal and the outcome?
Well, arguably, it's the biggest trade of its kind. It's certainly in my memory, in terms two things. One, this maybe almost generational player at such a young age, a guy that's achieved so much so quickly, for him to be moved at this point is almost unheard of. And the haul that they got in return, it remains to be seen. You know, ask me 5 years from now how good that haul is, but it appears to be as good a collection of young players as we've ever seen go in a deal like this. All that said, you know, it's under the shadow of what's going on with ownership in Washington that they're obviously getting ready to sell the team. I hope someday somebody can get into what the thinking was. You know, it's almost bothersome in terms of here's an ownership that did a great job putting together a team with GM Mike Rizzo. They won a World Series. Fabulous. And it was almost as if they said, this gives us license to do two things. We can try to sell at the top of the value of this franchise, and you know, we'll get a pass from the fans if we start to gut it a little bit, or a lot now in this case. So that's a little unsettling that what may or may not be going there, but that seems to be behind it. And you feel for Mike Rizzo, who sit there and has to take the heat and has to toe the company line and keep saying, "Yeah, we built a winner before, and we're doing it again."
Well, they got some good talent from San Diego, like you say. Maybe is this the biggest trade in baseball history that people are talking about?
You know, there's several GMs that I've heard, current GMs, former GMs, talking to people around the game. That seems to be the consensus. Nobody can remember anything of this magnitude. There's never been a player this young, this good, who was traded, and there probably has never been a collection of talent that went the other way. The volume and the level of talent. Now we'll see. You know, you talk about Hassel and some of these other guys. Some of the, you know, Abrams, we've seen a little bit of. These guys still have to prove it. You know, the word is prospects, and it's for a reason. But the odds are pretty good that out of six guys, you know, they're probably going to hit on what, four at least. You know.
Well, we'll see. It reminds me of a 17-player trade, mid-50s. Bob Turley and Don Larson went from the Orioles to the Yankees.
Right.
And Gene Woodling, Gus Triandos went back to the Orioles. But that's the biggest trade I could ever remember. 17 players went back and forth. And Turley and Larson, of course, starred for the Yankees. And so that's all right. So maybe it's the biggest trade in baseball history. When I heard it, I said, "Is that possible?" But maybe it is. Well, we'll have to see how it plays out. But the corollary to this thing is the Orioles. You know, and all of a sudden the market has turned its attention to the Orioles. They're getting great crowds, and they're still in this thing.
Yeah, you know, Baltimore has been a city sitting there waiting for a reason to show up at the ballpark again. If you talk to people around Baltimore, they tell you that their TV ratings, even when this team's been horrendous, their TV ratings have been great. People are sitting there, and they're interested, and they want to root for this team, and they want to get excited. And they've been excited in recent years over some overachieving teams, and it got them fired up again. It's a blue collar town, and they want a team that busts their butts and overachieves, and that's what they got. And management was kind of in a funny spot here, because it was like, okay, we're way ahead. We're maybe 2 years ahead of what we thought our plan was. You know, they brought in ex-Houston people who went through the rebuild there. They know how it's supposed to be done, and I think they're even a little shocked. And they made a couple of deals with the future still in mind. We're not going to deviate from their plan. They took a little heat from that, but if you look at those deals, I think they didn't hurt themselves that much. They got rid of their closer, Lopez, who is a bit of a surprise. The guy just burst onto the scene this year. But at the point they're ready to get rid of him, they have another kid, Felix Bautista, who's got better stuff, better velocity, a little bit raw, still a rookie, but probably is a longer term is a better option to closer. And they're going to let him do it and live with it the rest of the season probably. And then the other guy they lost was Trey Mancini, and there's a huge emotional attachment in that town. The guy overcame cancer. He's been there through the worst of it. But they've got an overload of young outfielders that are pretty good players. Cedric Mullins is probably the best unknown center fielder in baseball. Anthony Santander in right field is a pretty solid guy. They've got three or four more young guys that have come through this system that they mix and match. So on the field, I don't think they hurt themselves that much. Can they stay with these other teams in that race? Well, they're there right now. And the longer this goes on, the more they're starting to believe, hey, why not?
Well, as I always say, if they let you hang around long enough,
right,
it's trouble. And they're hanging around, and they're really hanging in there. And the third wild card is huge. I think baseball did the right thing. Look, it's kept the Giants alive right now. You know, seven back of the third wild card. You'd hate to be chasing Atlanta and maybe the Padres, although the Padres I'm not convinced yet. I'm just not convinced yet. But the third wild card's a big deal. Look at the American League. You got seven teams in the wild card race.
Absolutely. And I think there could be a lot of movement. You know, we're getting to the point in the National League, I'm getting concerned that even with three wild cards, we might not have much of a race as far as getting in the playoffs. It may come down to who can win the Central for the last spot. But in the American League, you're right. I mean, I think a lot of things could turn upside down. You talk about not being sold on the Padres. I'm certainly not sold on the Minnesota Twins. And I think Cleveland and the White Sox are sitting there a couple of games behind. I think either or both of those teams could pass the Twins to win that division and put both of themselves in the wild card mix. They're only a couple games out right now. You talked about Baltimore. I'm not convinced Boston can hang in there, but possible. Tampa Bay is solid. Toronto's very, very good. Seattle, their offense concerns me, but I think they have enough. You know, as we've learned over recent years, teams are in a wild card race because they're not quite good enough to be a dominant division winner. So there's flaws, and I can give you the flaws in every one of these teams, but they've got enough positives that, yeah, they can stay in this thing. And like you said, let them hang around. They get a hot 2 weeks in September, and oh my goodness, they're in the playoffs. But the playoffs
just be at five.
Go ahead.
It's going to just be at 500 in September, and you're in it. Go ahead, finish your thought.
Yeah, well, I was going to say the playoff structure, I think, becomes really crucial here. You know, I don't know if enough fans are aware quite yet how this wild card round is going to work. We got rid of that one-game wild card. Yeah, okay, so you're going to go play three games, but they're all going to be in this city of the higher seed. You know, that's where everybody gets excited. Look what the Padres did. Well, they're still, unless they catch the Braves and or the Mets, although the Mets are putting a hurt on the Braves this weekend, unless the Padres catch the Braves, they have to go to Atlanta for three games. And, you know, how much did you really increase your odds of getting through that sort of gauntlet to get even a chance again at the Dodgers, who they can't beat anyway? So, you know, yeah, the Soto deal for them is great because they get two more years after this one and they can start those other years from scratch. But if they don't get into that first wild card spot, that's a pretty tough road.
Yep, it is for everybody. Has the advantage and 17 teams of 30. that have a legitimate chance of being in the playoffs. That's pretty good for August the 7th, I would say.
Yeah, it is, and even we're looking at, you know, the National League, in a weird way, has almost been a little disappointing what's happened in the last few weeks. I mean, because we're starting to run that risk of there's nothing left. I mean, you know, the Giants, like you say, are sort of hovering back there. All right, they're getting healthy here this weekend, getting a lot of their guys back. That's crucial. They've got to start putting together some wins. There's certainly still plenty of time. And Milwaukee's got to figure out, can they overcome the sort of thud that hit their clubhouse when they traded Hader? Because if they're not careful, they're going to be too far behind St. Louis. And if they fall back a little bit in the Central race, finishing second in the Central might not be nearly good enough to get a wild card.
Interesting. Well, it's time of year. Year for baseball. Ryan Rothstein is going to join us in a little while to talk with Kerry from WIP in Philly. But what's your take? You know, kind of buried the Phillies in the year with Girardi and all that. All of a sudden, the Phillies won four straight now. And
you know, I like the Phillies, and I've liked them all year. And, you know, they've done a lot of work to try to patch together their bullpen. I think that's much, much better than it was at the start of the year. Their starting pitching has been a little better. They did a lot of nice sort of ancillary things to fill some gaps in their roster. They've been too inconsistent. They can't stay with the Braves and the Mets, but I really like their chances of grabbing that last wild card spot.
See, it's time for baseball. Up with you again. There's so much more to talk about. Last thing I'll mention to you, and Bruce and I talked about this, Aaron Judge, 43 home runs, 93 RBIs. What are his final two numbers in those categories? What do you think?
I think
give you a curveball. You know
that's fine. That's good. I think he gets to 62. I think he does it. He's that kind
really?
Of guy.
Okay.
He's a flair for the dramatic. He's got Yankee Stadium. He's got some matchups. They've gone through a pretty tough stretch here in terms of matchups against some pretty good clubs, and they don't play well against the other great teams. He's got enough games there. I think he can do that, and he's got that sort of composure that he'll handle that. This is not going to be Roger Maris with his hair falling out. This guy's going to embrace every bit of it, you know, and I think he can do it. I think he can get 135 RBIs, you know, and it's going to be interesting because then we get into all sorts of debates about MVPs, and you know, that we'll get to that probably you know, a month from now. But yeah, I think he handles it well and puts together some monster numbers.
Yeah, Maris and Mantle. Think about that. The two of them, two teammates going down the stretch. Rogers 61 and Mantle 54.
Yep,
and Mantle
absolutely.
Probably would have been closer to 60 if Mel Allen didn't send him to his doctor to get some alleged vitamin shot that was going to help him that turned into an abscess and knocked him out. But that's another story for another day. Well, always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. So be well, and we'll catch up with you in a couple of weeks.
All right. Take care, Marty.
That is Paul. Always fun talking to Paul. All right. Is up next with Ryan Rothstein of WIP in Philly. That's coming up next right here on the Sports Leader.